mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, wearing blue is fine. Planting pinwheels in recognition of Child Abuse Prevention Month is all well and good. But what will truly make a real, lasting difference in actually addressing the problem? Also this morning, with the physical and mental health of American youth on the decline, the U.S. Army has launched a video series to deliver wellness techniques adapted from the Mission Readiness Program within the military. It's our salute to service this morning. And we'll get the latest update on programs from the Hancock County OSU Extension. Jennifer Little will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, April 14th, 2025. Back to work on this Monday morning, and if you are dreading heading back to the office, here's something that may make you feel a little bit better. It should make you feel a little bit better. A study from Binghamton University in New York has found that workplace drama can actually be a good thing for coworker bonding. So if you have drama at work, you got to shift your mindset here and think about this as a good thing. Researchers said that experiences, when you're in the in-group, you are more likely to help each other out and have each other's backs. So you got drama going on, you are more likely to bond with others, have each other's backs, and it's kind of this, we're all in it together. And here's an example. They cited a broadcasting company in South Korea where, like, top brass were let go, and employees from other departments began to coordinate and bond like they hadn't before. So that workplace drama can precipitate bonding and a more closely knit work group, which is great. Unless you're the one that's being let go to trigger all of that, you know? anyway, the lead author of the study for Binghamton University, Matthew Lyle, says, we know that we can create these situations artificially, but why not create them around some shared experience that makes a memory that makes people want to work together? His point is you don't have to necessarily have turmoil at work to create workplace drama. Maybe you go looking for some good drama in some way, shape, or form. That would be the challenge anyway. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Maybe workplace drama is not such terrible thing after all. Easter nearly upon us. This is Holy Week, and Easter culminating on Sunday with the holiday, April 20th. As the holiday rolls around, which of America's top retailers will be open, which will be closed for the holiday? Some places are closed. Lowe's, for example, will be closed on Easter Sunday in order to show appreciation to Lowe's associates for their dedication to serving our customers. So they will not be serving customers on Easter Sunday. They will be closed. Walmart, on the other hand, nation's largest retailer, will be open for business. You remember the big story back during the holiday season? They closed for Thanksgiving. Of course, they were always closed for Christmas at Walmart, but not Easter. Easter, they are going to be open. TJX, the parent company to TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Home Goods, and more, says all of their stores will close on Easter. So no hunting for bargains, TJX stores. Costco warehouses will be closed on Easter Sunday. It is one of seven holidays that the company closes for. CVS plans to remain open, although some stores may have reduced hours for Easter. And Kroger stores will be open on Easter Sunday in case you need to run out and pick something up last minute for your Easter dinner. Kroger will be open, but the company says pharmacy hours may vary. So some of the retailers that will be open and not open on Easter Sunday. Why is it that Easter Sunday is companies' stores are more likely to be open on Easter Sunday than on Christmas? I mean, Easter, of the two, Easter is the more significant holiday in the Christian calendar. At the same time, it's not as big of a commercial deal in this country, which is I've always thought was kind of odd. But in any event, there will be plenty of stores. So if you're not celebrating Easter, you just want to go out and shop, you'll have some options. That's the bottom line. Some options. Let's see what else is going on. Among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. New report from the State Highway Patrol finds the newest distracted driving law in Ohio seems to be making a positive impact. Patrol reports that crashes have dropped by 8% since the rules on cell phone use behind the wheel were implemented in April of 2023. Well, there were laws, there were rules on the books, but they were strengthened as of April of 2023. Law enforcement does not need any other reason to stop a driver who is paying attention to their phone and not on the road. It's become a primary offense. Traffic fatalities have fallen by 4% over the last 2 years, and crashes in general down 8%, according to the Highway Patrol. So it's working. Phones down. I mentioned that I was out of town all weekend long. I was driving home yesterday and saw all of those electronic signs. Phones down, phones down, phones down. Yeah, it's been a big push, and apparently it has been working. Of course, they put the signs, the electronic signs out there to distract you reading the signs from what you... That's a whole different story. Let's see, a couple of other items here. Now, this is kind of interesting. You remember the big dust-up, all of the big controversy, when President Trump decreed that the Gulf of Mexico would no longer be the Gulf of Mexico. Going to call it the Gulf of America from now on. Well, the next name change is the Island of Hawaii, which may just be shortened to Hawaii. The Hawaii Board on Geographic Names is currently... I didn't know that there was a Hawaii Board on Geographic Names, but there is, and they are currently reviewing a proposal that the island of Hawaii be officially shortened, the name of the island of Hawaii be shortened officially to just Hawaii. Board Chair Marquez Marzan says the island of Hawaii is the only island that includes island of in its name. And it was added years ago to distinguish the island of Hawaii from the state of Hawaii, which is many islands collectively. And now the board no longer considers this necessary. They will vote during their June meeting, and if approved, will go forward. The proposal will go forward to the U.S. Board on Geographic Names. And if it is approved at the national level, the name change would probably take effect sometime in 2026. So it would not be the island of Hawaii in the state of Hawaii. It would just be Hawaii in Hawaii. That's the... You've got the island, you've got the state. I'm not so sure that I agree that it is not confusing. But, hey, it's their state. I say, let them do what they want. Let them do what they want with it. It's their state, right? It only seems fair. Lastly, here is something to think about as you are getting your kids up and off to school this morning. If you are among the parents who drop your kids off yourself, you could be putting them in danger. This, I guess, falls under that category of every day we have to have something to worry about, have to have something to be fearful of or concerned over, or, you know, doom and gloom, a doom and gloom story. So this, I guess, would fall into that category. Parents dropping off their kids at school could be putting them in danger. New study from the University of Calgary has found that dangerous driving behaviors are very common at elementary schools during morning drop-off times. Matter of fact, during their research, they found 98% of elementary school drop-offs, they saw some sort of dangerous driving behavior. Their point is, parents may think that driving their kids to school is safer, but that could create a vicious cycle because parents who view the environment riding the bus or walking to school or what have you, parents who view that environment as too dangerous, so they drive them to school, thus increasing traffic volumes, which in turn creates more dangerous driving at school drop-offs, and so on and so forth. So just something to keep in mind, something to think about. Definitely pay attention when you're dropping your kids off at school. You may think that you're doing the safe thing, but that may or may not be the case. Anyway, just something to think about there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, mostly cloudy today with some showers and a high in the upper 60s. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the middle 40s. The Hancock County Drug Task Force, assisted by the Finley Police Department Emergency Response Team, executed a narcotic search warrant in the 300 block of Lester Avenue in Finley. The task force says a search of the residence yielded suspected methamphetamine, suspected crack cocaine, and drug paraphernalia, as well as multiple items indicative of drug trafficking. As a result of the investigation, three people were arrested and booked at the Hancock County Jail. They face charges ranging from permitting drug abuse to possession of methamphetamine and crack cocaine and possession of drug paraphernalia. And authorities say additional charges of drug trafficking are expected at the conclusion of the investigation. Get more in the story on our website. An Ohio congressman is asking the presidential administration to rehire workers from a federal agency in Ohio.
There were more than 1,500 workers at NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, who lost their jobs. 423 of those are said to be in the Cincinnati area. Congressman Greg Landsman and more than 100 other D.C. lawmakers signed a letter asking the president to reverse his decision. The Springfield News Sun reports that agency lost more jobs in Ohio than anywhere else across the country.
ONN's Jared Allen reporting. The University of Finley's equine marketing class will present its 20th annual spring horse sale on Saturday, April 26th at the Western Farms Dale Wilkinson Arena on US 68 south of Finley. Riding demonstrations will begin at 10 a.m. and the sale will start at noon with bidding available in person and online. Get more details in this story on our website. The Finley City Schools Alumni Association is accepting nominations for its Distinguished Alumni Award. The award recognizes and honors graduates of Finley High School who have made significant and noteworthy contributions in their time since graduating. We have a link to the nomination form in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Our cover story this morning, as you may already be aware, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and Job and Family Services Director Randall Galbraith is with us in the studio this morning. What was it, last week? Put the pinwheels up on the courthouse grounds.
And yes.
I know about a week or so ago had Wear Blue Day in recognition of that. And those things are great. They're all well and good. But it's not enough. That's, I mean, you know, raising awareness is only part of the equation. Clearly, we need to do more by the fact that we've got more pinwheels up there. We need to do more to curb this problem because each pinwheel represents a case that was adjudicated in Hancock County in the past year, right?
That's right, Chris. Yes, we definitely need to do more. As you may be aware, my agency is mostly there after the fact. We have very few prevention or intervention, early intervention programs. Mm-hmm. So I encourage the public to, if they want to do something, the best thing to do is volunteer with kids. So children's mentoring, connection, scouting, any kind of volunteering where they can be around and mentor kids.
That's really kind of what I wanted to talk about because again, it's one thing, like I said, it's great to wear blue and recognize and do all of these things to talk about it and raise awareness. Not that that's not important, but not to do those things and think that we are making a difference just by virtue of doing those things.
Exactly. The best way, as I said, is to be involved with kids. The kids that are The most in danger of abuse and neglect are the ones that don't have adult mentors. So we're always looking at programs that can get adults involved with kids in their everyday lives. Anything from changing oil in your lawnmower to going out to see a movie.
Yeah. How many times have we talked to the folks at CMC and said that, you know, those interactions don't have to be anything fancy. They can just be everyday, ordinary things.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, some kids just don't have people to teach them those basic life skills.
And talk about why that is so critical, because again, for average folks, they don't see how does that make such a difference.
For those that vulnerable population, you have an adult there that is interacting with them, teaching them something, shows them what normal is, what is normal family life like. And as an adult, as you're watching these kids, you'll see something that maybe isn't on the level, is adverse, and therefore can make that report.
So how is that done? Because as you mentioned, you can only step in when you know that there is something going on. So how does someone get involved in that way?
Well, like I said, there's a number of organizations that that will take your volunteer time. Mm-hmm. When you're around kids and you're helping them out, you're teaching them anything from balancing a checkbook to, you know, how to go grocery shopping. Like I said, these kids don't have that kind of mentorship.
Yeah.
So just having the kids out of that environment, out in mm-hmm. an environment that's normal, reduces the stress on that family, reduces the stress on the children.
Becomes less likely that there will be a problem to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So if we do encounter a situation where we suspect that there is something that is not quite right in a child's life, and again, I think for most of us, the advice would be kind of trust that instinct.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
And then what? I mean, okay, I think something may be going on with a child that I know, a friend of my son or daughter's, or a kid that I'm involved with mentoring, then what?
If you believe it's something serious, call 419-429-8008. That's our report line. That's 419-429-8008. If you see something that's a dire emergency, don't call us. Please call the Sheriff's Department or the City Police Department, 911. Mm-hmm. Yes, those kinds of calls are anonymous. The reporter, their information is sacrosanct in terms of confidentiality. Mm-hmm. And if it rises to the level that we can do something, we'll check it out. But if nothing else, you're observing what's happening in that household.
And I think we've also talked about this. I think it's important to emphasize that because sometimes we step back and say, well, I don't want to get involved. I don't really know if there's something. I don't want to, you know, get anyone into trouble. I don't want to cause any problems. I'm not really sure. But you say it's better to make the call and let the professionals check it out.
Absolutely. In 2024, we took over 1,700 reports. We opened between 400 and 500 cases, like 450 cases. So not every one of those reports leads to us doing an investigation.
The majority don't.
Yeah. And at the same time that you know, there's something on our radar there. It's a way for us to, you know, track how many have we heard from about this family four or five times. Mm. Is there something going on there we really need to take a look at? Mm-hmm. But also, this isn't exactly getting people in trouble. We offer services to stabilize that family, and our first mandate is to keep families together.
Yeah, that's an important part too, because I think quite often Children's Services gets a bad reputation as being the agency that comes in and splits families up. Certainly there are cases where that may be necessary, but the vast majority, what you're there to do is improve the situation. So how do you do that?
How do we improve the situation? Yeah. If a family comes in and we do an investigation, we decide to open a case, one of the things that we're looking at is an evaluation of what are the stressors there. Is there a financial component? Is there that we can help alleviate? Are there outside resources like Family Resource Center, Ohio Guidestone? We can get counseling in. Family Resource Center has wellness coaches that can go in and help a family if they're having some kind of stressful time. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of community resources that we recommend people families to go use, go see. And like I said, we evaluate those situations.
Certainly in extreme cases, all of the mitigation efforts are not enough. And there are instances where people have to be prosecuted and situations have to be handled through the courts. Again, going back to the pinwheels, what is 81?
Yeah, so right? Out of all the 1,700 reports, 450 investigations, only, you know, we ended up with 81 children last year being adjudicated abused and neglected. So obviously, you know, the vast majority of cases don't end up there, mm-hmm. and even fewer end up in some kind of criminal prosecution. So it's a problem, but it's not necessarily a criminal problem. It's mm-hmm. it's families in economic stress, families in mental health stress that need that support.
Yeah. And those numbers that we're talking about, what is the trend line on those numbers in recent years?
Well, the number of reports we've been receiving have been going up, which I think is...
Which is a good thing.
I think that's a good thing, especially yeah. given that the investigations are remaining steady to going down a little bit, and then the number of kids that are being adjudicated is... It's down from where it was in 2020, 2021.
So that's really interesting because, again, when you look at the number of reports, it would be easy to jump to the conclusion that the problem is growing. But really, when taken in context, it appears that's not the case. You're getting more of the reports, which is leading to fewer prosecutions and fewer cases.
Absolutely. Partnering with Family and Children First Council, and as I said, many of the organizations I've already mentioned, we can get help to those families before it gets to that point. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
Yeah.
It's not that we're going to necessarily prevent families from having crises. It's can we respond to it before it becomes a court case?
Yeah. And just to reemphasize the importance of, you know, we've heard that saying many times, if you see something, say something. To reemphasize that, there are, in fact, mandatory reporters.
There are.
Teachers and law enforcement, certain other professions are mandatory reporters. But again, we can't let that kind of fall into that false sense of security that someone else is going to report this.
Exactly. You may know something or see something that that someone with a professional license doesn't necessarily see.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, that's the reason we're looking for people to be with those kids in those situations, because that's just more eyes on those children.
Yeah. Again, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. You'll drive by the courthouse throughout the month of April. You'll see the pinwheels. That's what it's all about. But it is about so much more than just planting pinwheels. It really does take a community to keep kids safe.
Certainly does.
Bottom line. Again, Randall Galbraith is Director of Job and Family Services with us this morning. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you, Chris.
Young people today are struggling. Statistics show both the physical and mental health of American youth on the decline. So now, the U.S. Army has launched a video series which delivers actionable health and wellness techniques from Army experts that are rooted in the holistic health and fitness system of the military itself, which works to enhance soldier mission readiness. Joining us this morning is Major Allison Brager, PhD, neuroscientist, and sleep expert with the U.S. Army. So, Major Brager, tell us more about what you are calling the All You series.
So the All YouTube series is meant to help people be as physically ready and also as cognitively ready to perform at their best in each and every day. If you think about our jobs in the military and in the Army, it's not just about physical fitness. It's about being mentally ready to deploy at a moment's notice. And so things we do during our waking day, from how we fuel ourselves with proper nutrition and hydration, how we manage our stress, our own individual belief systems. All those factors will determine how well we perform. And then, of course, if you're not getting good sleep at night, then you're never going to perform well the next day.
Yeah.
So the big focus of this campaign is also on getting a good night of sleep, too.
So is that why... The idea is the Army has is uniquely positioned to be a source for this information, that kind of holistic health and wellness approach
Yeah. So, you know, our approach is unique. We bring in world experts in strength and conditioning and performance dietitians, sports psychologists. We bring in all these experts to make sure that we are attacking not just physical fitness, but the other pillars of health and wellness, which factor into how ready we are to perform. Can we do our jobs? Can we make right, accurate, quick decisions?
So, as we mentioned, you are a neuroscientist and a sleep expert. Talk about your role within the Army health program and what kind of impact you have seen with your efforts across the Army.
So as an expert in sleep for the Army, my job is to meet with command teams and leaders of the Army and to provide ways to promote healthy sleep environments and cultures around sleep. I also provide direct education to soldiers in terms of things they can do throughout their day and their evening to help ensure that they can get a good night of sleep, even under situations of high stress, whether it's training or deployment or other factors impacting their life. We also do studies in the lab. We have many sleep discoveries in the lab that we then take out to the field to help the troops in real time. So it's a really comprehensive approach to how we are educating about sleep and then taking new findings about sleep and making sure that everyone has access to it.
And then talk about applying that knowledge, that information, and that help to a civilian audience, the kind of advice that people can expect to find in the All You series, and how it applies and extrapolates to civilian life.
Yeah, so the information in this series is not just for soldiers, it's for society.
Right.
Again, we brought in world experts to provide information about nutrition, about sleep, about mental readiness, about physical fitness that anyone can do. For example, we have a 10-minute video of how you can get a quick and easy workout with no equipment in your office. That's not just for soldiers. It's for everyone.
Sure.
How you can, you know, what types of foods to eat throughout the day, and then tips and techniques for getting a good night of sleep.
In your specialty specifically, kind of give us a preview. What are some of your go-to holistic health and wellness tips?
Two things I'll say are right sleep. It's a process throughout the day. You got to put away your cell phones. You got to put away that stress in your life. You have to have a wind down routine leading up to bed. That's a no brainer for me. The other people don't think about what you eat and what you put into your body matters, especially hydration. If you're not hydrating throughout the day, you're not setting yourself up for a good night of sleep at night. And, you know, staying hydrated is what keeps our brain active and, you know, allows us to make quick, accurate decisions.
Yeah. So just right there, real easy to see how this will apply to both the Army and, of course, in civilian life. So where can people tune in to the All You series?
So it's on YouTube. Through the Go Army channel, and then you can also go on the GoArmy.com as well. There's a new episode each and every week.
Again, Major Allison Brager, PhD, neuroscientist, and sleep expert with the U.S. Army, talking about their new All You video series. Major Brager, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A pretty incredible video of that tragic helicopter crash in New York City a few days ago. Family of five perished along with the helicopter pilot. Really, really tragic story. If you haven't seen the video, it is just incredible. Here is here's another story of a helicopter crash in South Africa. Now, No fatalities in this one, thank goodness, but this crash is now being blamed on an unsecured penguin. Helicopter crash in South Africa. An unsecured penguin. Apparently, this happened back in January. The way the animal was being transported is the subject of the investigation in this one. The South African Civil Aviation Authority's report says a specialist put a penguin in a cardboard box and then brought it on board the aircraft. But the specialist who was carrying, transporting the penguin lost his grip on the box, and the penguin ended up bumping into the pitch control lever that the pilot uses to control the aircraft. And while the helicopter sustained damage, no humans or penguins were seriously harmed. Thank goodness. The report, though, chides the specialist who is transporting the penguin in a box, saying the absence of proper secured crate meant that the penguin's containment was not suitable for flight conditions. You know, those penguins, they're cute, but they have a dark side. They look all cute and harmless, but they are not, as it turns out. Wow. Unsecured penguin. Elsewhere in the broken news, this from Springfield, Missouri, where a man is accused of crashing into a convenience store and then leaving the scene of the accident. He was tracked down, has reportedly blamed his footwear for the incident. Dale Hammett allegedly drove his 2012 Dodge Ram pickup into the store. He rammed the store and then left without giving any information. When questioned by police, he stated that he was driving in his Crocs, and they got caught in the gas pedal and the accelerator pedal. Again, those Crocs, they may seem harmless, but they are dangerous. We need to ban these Crocs. Not only are they goofy looking, they can be downright dangerous. He's been charged with leaving the scene of an accident. He blamed his Crocs. I was driving in my Crocs, you see, and yeah. Next thing you know, this is a funny story, crazy story out of Silicon Valley. I mean, you've got a lot of tech-savvy people that live in Silicon Valley, and someone apparently has put their technological skills to a nefarious use. Apparently, crosswalks in Silicon Valley have been hacked to sound like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg spouting some pretty bizarre messages. You know, not the crosswalks themselves, but the lights, the crossing lights. You know, you cross the street, you press the button, and it tells you to walk, and it tells you how much time you have left to cross the street and all of that, these voice crosswalk devices. Well, video footage in Redwood City, Menlo Park, and Palo Alto show the messages are not your typical don't walk, walk messages, but rather they are playing different messages when the buttons are pressed. In Redwood City, Mark Zuckerberg says, "It's normal to feel uncomfortable or even violated as we forcefully insert AI into every facet of your conscious experience." You press the button, Mark Zuckerberg talks about AI. At another crosswalk, Elon Musk says he will give you a Cybertruck if you'll be my friend. Somebody, I don't know whether somebody's making a political statement here or whether they're just having some fun. The city of Palo Alto says 12 downtown intersections were impacted and the voice announcement feature has been disabled until it can be repaired. It is unclear who is behind the hack. Again, if you live in a tech-savvy community, you got to expect things like this. I think somebody playing a practical joke. Elon Musk says, "I'll be your friend. I'll give you a Cybertruck if you'll be my friend." That's funny. Let's see. Four people in Baker, Louisiana are in custody for riding their horses through a Walmart store. They have all been charged with disturbing the peace and the unlawful posting of criminal activity online because they shared the video on social media. Looking for their 15 minutes of fame, I guess. Video of the stunt went viral. One of the individuals involved in the prank said his horse is his emotional support animal, so it should be allowed. That'd be quite a sight, wouldn't it? Walk into a Walmart. Of all the crazy things you see in Walmart, to see someone strolling through or riding through the store on horseback. Be a little unusual. A couple of other items here in the broken news this morning. This out of Florida, the Miami area, where a McDonald's customer who tried to procure extra ranch sauce, extra ranch dressing on her own, was not only denied the dressing, but also allegedly attacked. According to local news reports, the 17-year-old diner tried to get the attention of an employee to get her an extra packet of ranch dressing. When nobody would respond to her, she decided to go behind the counter herself to get the package of ranch dressing. And that's when 31-year-old Akina Sampson allegedly stopped her by choking her and taking her to the ground because she went behind the container or went behind the counter at McDonald's. That's just something you do not do. We do not allow such things here. When she felt employees were not helping her, that's when she went behind the counter, and boy, that got their attention in a hurry. Ms. Sampson has been charged with child abuse because the victim is underage. So we'll see where this goes. I mean, if you'd have paid attention when she was just asking for a packet of ranch dressing, you could have avoided the whole thing. It was only when she went behind the counter that suddenly people were paying attention to her. And finally, in the broken news this morning, South Milwaukee High School, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, has a bit of a controversy on their hands. Students are not happy because they have been told they will be required to take a breathalyzer test if they want to attend their prom. A letter on the school's website says that when students arrive to prom, they will go through a weapon detection. They go through a metal detector. They will have their belongings searched, and they will be subject to a breathalyzer test. Some students say that they are so bothered, they are so offended by this, that they will not attend their prom. And I'm thinking that they're probably the ones that are the reason why they need a breathalyzer test at the prom. A bit of a controversy there. There you go. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hi, I'm Josie. My daughter turns 5 today. Blow out the candles. I'm also an Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper. When you move over and slow down, you're not only giving me room to work, you're making sure I can get home to celebrate with my daughter.
Roadside workers have lives and families, but when they're on the job, they put it all on the line to protect and serve us. When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
Brought to you by ODOT, USDOT, NHTSA, and ODPS.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. For a while, this was supposed to be the new thing in the wake of the pandemic. Until it wasn't. It was going to be the new thing until it wasn't. You remember when everybody transitioned to working from home, working remotely during the pandemic, and there was a lot of talk about, hey, this may be the new normal and how it could disrupt the whole office paradigm, right? We were going to work from home, and this would impact a lot of other business. It would have a trickle-down effect on, like, you know, restaurants and clothing stores. People wouldn't have to buy as many business outfits and so on. So there was going to be this ripple effect through the economy. Well, forget about it. Apparently, it is not a thing. Now, we are, 5 years past the pandemic, of course, a majority of Americans have already left remote work behind. And 57% of American workers plan to work fully in person in the office in 2025. So a majority are no longer working remotely, even part-time. Nearly a quarter are still looking to be fully remote, so it hasn't fully gone away. The remaining 18% of respondents in this latest Talker Research survey, remaining 18% of respondents say they follow a hybrid model where they're at home a few days a week, they're in the office part-time, and it's kind of a hybrid sort of deal. This Talker Research survey was conducted for Newsweek. They found that Gen Zers are the ones who want to work from home the most, 28%. So even the highest demographic looking to work from home is only at 28%. 63% of boomers prefer to work in an office full-time. It was the highest full-time office age group. Millennials and Gen Zers are equally as likely to work from home as work in the office, about 55%, while another 19% and 16% of those respective groups will be partially in the office. Men more likelier than women to make up the group of full-time office employees, 76% to 64%. And younger workers, again, this still is more popular among younger workers who value flexibility and work-life integration, while older workers appreciate reduced commutes and comfort. Those are the pluses for those who do prefer to work remotely. This is according to the folks at Spark Careers and what they have found, the reasons why people prefer to work remotely. This highlights, they say, the need for customized workplace policies over one-size-fits-all approaches. But a growing number of businesses demanding that workers return to the office full-time. And there is a majority. They're okay with that. But there are still significant numbers who would like a little bit, at least a little bit of flexibility. Something to keep in mind. Time to get an update on what's going on at the Hancock County OSU Extension. Extension educator Jennifer Little is here. Always a pleasure to see your smiling face on a Monday morning, Jennifer. Thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate Thanks for it. Having us here.
Also with us is Andrea Markin. She is one of the interns, right?
Your latest intern? Yeah, Andrea is interning with me. She's from the University of New England program, and she's also a physical therapist. She's kind of going back to school to get some extra education to help her clients in the area of nutrition wellness.
So from whence do you hail? From where do you hail?
Botkins, Ohio. Oh, okay. Yep.
All right. So ended up in New England.
I still live here. So online program.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay. Terrific. Yeah. That's, you don't have to physically be there anymore. I should have realized that.
Yep.
So we want to talk a little bit about the fact that April is Stress Awareness Month, right?
Yes. So, I did a little. Andrea actually brought that up to me. We were working on some articles for the newspaper, and she said, "Hey, it's Stress Awareness Month," and I'm like, "Hey, this is a great topic. Everyone needs to know about this."
Yeah.
So, I actually did some digging. According to the American Psychological Association, they did a Stress in America survey in 2024, and at that point, 77% of Americans were stressed about the economy. That's probably still the case.
I was going to say at least that now, yeah.
And 68% feel stressed about personal or family safety, 62% stressed about U.S. politics, 60% of college students said they are stressed every single day. And that's, that's a hard, that's young folks.
Can you relate to that?
Absolutely.
And worldwide, 31% of adults believed that stress was the biggest health problem in their country. So it's not even something that's unique to the United States.
Yeah. We kind of joke about it, or we kind of laugh it off and dismiss it sometimes. But this is serious stuff. And you have an article with Andrew, or with like 10 ways that we can deal with this.
Yeah, so 10 just kind of easy tips, everyday things that you can do to kind of help manage stress, because with long-term stress, there's lots of health implications that come with it, which then leads to more stress. So just choosing healthy foods every single day, making sure you're getting all of those important nutrients from your fruits, your vegetables, whole grains, healthy proteins, and then eating them mindfully. So eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full, eating healthy snacks, having those healthy options available, making sure you're drinking enough water and not drinking caffeine and alcohol. Those both seem like ways to manage stress, but in the long run can actually cause more stress.
Yeah.
Prioritizing sleep. Sleep is huge with stress.
A lot of people don't get enough.
Yeah. And then exercising every day. Recommendation is 150 minutes per week, which is 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's about 30 minutes a day.
A week, yeah. So you don't have to, you're not talking about going out and becoming a bodybuilder here.
No, it can be something you enjoy too. Walking, biking, dancing, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. And something enjoyable.
Yeah. Something you probably do anyway, but maybe not as intentionally.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And then when you're enjoying it, you're getting those endorphins from the enjoyment as well as the movement.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Relationships with others is huge for stress. So connecting with people, connecting for support groups, connecting with friends and family.
Again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a formal thing.
No.
Just getting together with other human beings.
Yes.
Another comment that you'd mentioned is laughing. So when you're together with other people and you laughing, laughter is good medicine. So again, right along with that social connection, enjoying that time together and getting a couple good belly laughs in is always
good.
There's
that old saying that laughter is the best medicine, but it is.
Yes. Or even combining some of these things, doing the exercise in a group setting where you're with these other people and you can laugh while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Or engaging in a hobby or something creative that kind of gets those creative juices flowing, that kind of takes your mind away from those stressful things that are going on in your life. And then managing your time, not always saying yes to everything, learning to say no, and knowing what's important. And then taking breaks, breathing, taking a step away from everything. Yeah. And
it's okay to do that sometimes.
It is absolutely okay to do that. I've had to learn to do that with school, and I'm still working full-time and everything. So, so those are 10 things that you can kind of just do every day to manage.
It's not a coincidence that none of those things are earth-shattering or require a huge shift in the way we live our lives.
Absolutely not. They're just things that if you continue to do them over time, it can help just make things a little bit better.
We're never going to be able to erase all of those things that give us stress.
Right.
But when we are well rested with a good night's sleep,
when
we are well nourished with eating a balanced meal, we're able to deal with those things in a more healthful manner.
Yeah. And it is also pointed out that some stress is a good thing. It actually motivates us to do things that we need to do. So it's not about eliminating stress. It's managing.
Yes, the absolutely.
Yeah.
So exercise is actually considered to be like a stressor on the body, and that stressor releases endorphins, which are our happy hormones.
Right.
And long term, if we continue to do that, it builds up and we get this long term, like happy boost. Yeah.
Better equipped to
and our it. And our. Meanwhile, our heart and our lungs get better conditioned. So we have a healthier heart, we have healthier breathing. And of course, when we're feeling better and are stronger, and it's easier for us to exercise. And again,
great stuff.
For
Stress Awareness Month in April. And there's plenty to be stressed out about, but we need to manage that real well. You also have a couple of programs coming up here through the Extension Office that we want to make sure that we highlight.
Yes, yes. Of course, with the weather getting warmer, people are thinking about gardening. And mm-hmm. I've already gotten some calls about people that are thinking about preserving foods. You know, yep. as the cost of groceries going up, more people are interested in doing some gardening. And how
there's
can they...
a good de-stressor.
Yeah, gardening, actually. That's sure. a wonderful thing because yeah. you also get out there, get the physical activity, there get out in nature.
Check off all of those boxes.
Yes, and then you also have access to healthy fruits and vegetables that you're
which
growing
which can
in your
lower
backyard.
Your grocery bill, which yes. will release some of your financial stress.
Yes, exactly.
There we go.
So I'm already getting some calls about checking people's canners. So it is a good idea if you have a dial gauge pressure canner to have those dials checked every year for accuracy, just to make sure that they are reading accurately. So as you're pressure canning, that you're getting the right temperature and pressure that you need to safe can. So people can call our office or they can email me at little.18@osu.edu to set up a time to have their canners checked. And then this is those pressure canners with the dials that need to be calibrated and looked at. Also, I've got some colleagues on the food preservation team, and you don't even have to leave your house to do this one. We have a series of food preservation webinars on Tuesdays, and they started actually on April 8th. There was a session on water bath canning, and these are Tuesdays from 12 to 12:30. However, this whole webinar series is recorded, so if that's not something you can do live, you can actually just watch the recorded webinar at a later time. So April 22nd, so that's next Tuesday, there's one on pressure canning. And May 6th, there is one on freezing. So again, you don't have to have a lot of equipment even to freeze. Freeze is something that you can, it's one of the easiest ways to preserve food and just get some refresher on how to do that. Proper, the best way to do it long term, the best equipment, best containers to use. And then May 20th, dehydration. So that's another one that's kind of growing in popularity, and you know there are dehydrators that you can buy, but you can also do some dehydrating right in your own oven at home.
Okay.
So and to find out more about that, go.osu.edu/FP for food preservation webinars, all one word there. Okay. And I will send you the link and you can put that up on the website. But those are all free, and there's also they are recorded, and there's also some have a history of recorded webinars that people can check out. So again, you can do some, and many people learn by watching. So instead of checking out YouTube with people that may or may not know what they're doing when it comes to food preservation, let's go to some reliable sources with OSU Extension.
Very good. Again, Jennifer Little and Andrea Markin with us this morning from the Hancock County OSU Extension. We have a link on our webpage for more information. Ladies, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, it's been a month like we've never seen before in the financial markets. The latest numbers show consumer confidence has taken a significant hit, and the latest career optimism index finds work anxiety is skyrocketing. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.